This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, we'll talk with the winners of this year's People's Liberty Hale Fellowships and hear their plans for making Cincinnati a better place. First, this is National Consumer Protection Week, created to inform people about their consumer rights while providing them with access to free consumer-related resources. And joining us to talk about Consumer Protection Week and ways to avoid the various scams that are lurking out there are Melissa Smith, Director of Consumer Education and Outreach for the Ohio Attorney General's Office, John Steiger, Director of the East Central Region of the Federal Trade Commission based in Cleveland, and Community Outreach Specialist with the Cincinnati BBB, Sandra Guile. We can't take calls during this segment, but you can still join the conversation by emailing your questions and comments to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Melissa, John, and Sandra, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Melissa, let's start with your organization. You're with the Ohio Attorney General's Consumer Protection Section. How busy do scams keep you? How many complaints are you getting each year?
So, first of all, thanks for having us. National Consumer Protection Week is always a big week and an important week for the office, so we're glad to be on the show today. Our office receives around 24,000 complaints each year. Now, those aren't all necessarily scam-related, but a large portion of them are. So they keep us pretty busy. You know, we really try to skirt those at the front end by doing the appropriate education. So that's another big idea that we have, and it's a big initiative for this office to make sure that people have the information that they need to hopefully avoid falling victim to a scam before it happens.
And John, tell us about the FTC. What's the role of the FTC in fighting scams, and how many complaints of fraud and scam does your agency deal with on an annual basis?
Well, we are the nation's broad consumer protection agency. We're a civil federal agency, and so we, in the consumer protection area, will go into federal court to shut down scams and get as much money as we can back to consumers. But as Melissa said, education is such an important part of this that that's another big part of our mission, is to help get the word out, get tools to consumers so that they can protect themselves. In terms of how big a problem fraud is, it unfortunately is a really big problem. We actually just released our studies of the complaints that we received in 2016. These are complaints that we get from consumers, from organizations like the Ohio Attorney General's Office, which is a great contributor to us, but also from other federal agencies. And there were approximately 77,000 complaints just from Ohio. If you want to look at the Cincinnati area, for example, there are, for identity theft complaints, you have 2,000 complaints just in Cincinnati. So this is a really big problem.
And John, I guess you're saying 77,000 from Ohio. So roughly we could say multiply that by 50 and you've got an idea of the extent of this problem.
Absolutely. And Ohio is, when you're looking at the complaints in terms of fraud, Ohio is towards the top of the list. It's 17th per capita. So that does give you a little bit of a sense of how much we're looking at. I mean, really, there's, you know, over a million complaints that we received nationally in 2016.
Do we have any idea, John, how much this is costing us across the country as a whole?
Well, it's hard to put a specific figure on that. These complaints, and I should make clear that the statistics that I was giving, these are the complaints that come in. This isn't a survey where we're trying to identify everything. These are the people that we've heard from. I do know that the people who complained to, the people from Ohio who complained to us, they reported having lost almost $16 million. Those are just Ohio victims, and those are just the ones that reached out to us. So we know that that's the tip of the iceberg.
You know, I've heard it's in the billions. Is that a fair amount?
I think that would be a fair estimate.
Now, Sandra, the BBB has its scam tracker. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the statistics from that? And tell us what that scam tracker is first.
Absolutely. It's a congregative tool, accumulative tool that is reported by people who live in the greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky area. And I just want to quickly point out, we're the third leg of the stool. Without the Federal Trade Commission, without the Ohio Attorney General's office, there's a lot of information and education that we wouldn't be able to do without these other two resources, who are also able to pull information from our BBB scam tracker. And how this tool works is essentially, say you get a phone call from the IRS scam, or you have maybe the puppy scam or something like that, you can report that to us. We'll take that information. We'll post it up on our website after we vet that information from you and telling us where the phone number came from, the descriptions of the scam, if you lost any money and that kind of thing. It's, like I said, it's an aggregate tool, and then it's reported. It hones in what neighborhood you might be in. There's a heat map, and it's available to all of the BBBs across the United States. So it's a really neat tool. It's on bbb.org/scam tracker. And according to our stats—
By heat map, you can actually see the areas that are getting hit the hardest by a particular scam?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's phishing scams. I mean, you name it. There's stolen items. There's fake websites. There's online scams and that kind of thing. And according to our stats, just focusing on the greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky area, we received 402 reports. 41 victims lost $60,000. So, and those are the unfortunate victims that fell prey to those persuasion tactics that these scammers were using. Now, you had mentioned in the billions, the scam industry is about a $50 billion a year industry, unfortunately, for identity theft, for losing, you know, cash, credit cards, prepaid debit cards, wire transfers, and that kind of thing. So it's a pretty scary business to be in.
Again, if you'd like to join us, you can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And what the top scams that were reported to the BBB in 2016, Sandra, what were those?
Well, surprise, surprise, it was the IRS imposter calls.
Okay.
Tax scams. And ironically, we're in the tax season right now, and this is somebody calling to tell you, hey, you owe $4,000, $3,000, whatever the amount is they come up with, but we can easily take care of this over the phone right now if you just give me a prepaid money card or an iTunes card or something like that. And this accounted for 31% of all the reports on our scam tracker in the greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky area. And 125 reports of this type of scam were recorded. And one victim, unfortunately, lost $3,800.
Oh, ouch.
Yes, unfortunately. The second most reported was the sweepstakes lottery scam. This is promising millions of dollars in riches, fancy cars, fancy boats, vacations, that kind of thing. There were 45 of these reports, and four victims lost about $30,000. And then the third most reported was debt collection. You owe some money to maybe a loan you forgot about. And again, they're pressuring you for personal information, account information to take care of that. 29 reports, and four people lost $5,000. And the fourth most reported scam was the text support scam. And this is somebody either text messaging you or phone calling you saying your computer is giving off viruses or there's a problem, but we can take care of it with a credit card and just give us access to your computer. And we had 22 reports of this, and about $3,700 in total was lost from this particular scam.
And those are, they're usually a phone call to you saying they can fix a particular problem that you're having?
Correct.
Do they include the pop-ups you sometimes get that are kind of questionable?
I think there were a couple of them that said, I received a pop-up on the screen saying there's a virus alert.
Call us at this number.
This number, right, and we'll take care of it.
Yeah, but typically with something like that, if you have a problem, aren't they going to contact you by mail as opposed to?
They're trying to go for the instant gratification. And the reports that we received on our scam tracker, believe it or not, was actually by a phone call. And what's funny is that when I go out and give these presentations, the person is usually saying, I'm not anywhere near my computer. How is there a problem? Well, trust us, there's a problem. You need to get your computer right away. So they're using their convincing tools for you to take action.
But if it's a legitimate problem.
But if there's a legitimate problem, there might be something. Yes, there might be something in the mail, or you're on your computer and you're experiencing issues and there conveniently pops up a box.
Okay. So this is, go right ahead, John.
Sorry, yes. Thank you. We do a lot with the tech support scam, and I agree with Sandra. It's a really big and fast-growing problem. And the advice that we often give to people is to take a moment. Like Sandra said, they're trying to get you to act quickly because they know that if you stop and think about what it is they're telling you, that you're less likely to fall for it. So look at things independently. If there's a problem, if there's a pop-up on your computer, take it to a store that you already know, that you already trust. Because what they're going to try and get you to do is go to a website. They're going to run a bunch of tests remotely on your computer, and they know that these tests are going to have a bunch of exclamation marks and red lines and all these things that look really scary. But in fact, that's the normal operating system of your computer. So if you do get a call or if you do get a pop-up that there's a problem with your computer, don't call the phone number. If they call you, don't believe that they're from Microsoft or from Apple, which is another thing that they often will try and say. Mm-hmm. But you know, either take your computer into a trusted store or go to a different website, not the one they're pointing you to, that you trust as well, and take your time before responding. That's the key.
And really, the bigger way to prevent this from happening is just making sure your computer's up to date with antivirus software in the first place that blocks a lot of that communication and a lot of that software. Because a lot of times it will happen, they'll show those images, the scary images, while in the background what they're doing is they're loading some kind of software into your laptop or your PC or your
tablet. And what's the ultimate goal of that, Sandra? Is it to steal your information,
exactly.
Your personal information?
Exactly. Photos, personal information, banking accounts, passwords. They're literally trying to hack into your computer to get all that information so they could maybe send you an Amazon credit card, Mark.
I should never have mentioned that. Yeah, I ran into some identity theft a few months back. It was rather interesting, and it's a scary feeling.
It is you feel vulnerable.
You do.
You feel like a piece of you has been taken away, which technically it has.
And that's one of the reasons why I feel so strongly about Consumer Protection Week. I mean, it's important that people know about this and that they know about the resources that are out there to help them avoid these problems. And sometimes, like in my case, I do everything I can to be careful, but, sometimes it just happens. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready for it and know what to do.
And by the way, the resources aren't just available this week, folks. We're here 365.
Yeah, it's not just during Consumer Protection Week.
24/7.
Yeah. We will continue our conversation. You can join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to talk about Consumer Protection Week and ways to avoid the various scams that are lurking out there, Melissa Smith, who's Director of Consumer Education and Outreach for the Ohio Attorney General's Office, John Steiger, Director of the East Central Region of the Federal Trade Commission, and Community Outreach Specialist with the Cincinnati BBB, Sandra Guile. We can't take any calls during this segment, but you can still join us by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we got an email from Sherry, and this pertains to one of the broad categories of scams that are out there, debt collection. Mm-hmm. She said she had a problem with a hospital billing department and collection agency was told if she paid right away, she'd get a discount. She did, but after 2 months, the hospital said she wasn't entitled to that. So she's wondering what she can do, where she can go now for help on that. Melissa, you have any suggestions on that one?
Well, for anything having to do with the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act, I might defer to John a bit. But what I will say is this sounds like a good candidate for the Attorney General's informal dispute resolution process. And basically what that is if this particular consumer would like to reach out to our office, we would then try to work with the debt collection company to see sort of where lines may have been crossed and to see if there's anything specifically that we can do to work with the company to help her resolve this issue. But as to the specifics of any sort of debt collection, because that's a federal law, that's something that we would probably look to the FTC for guidance on.
Yeah, John, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Melissa's suggestion is the best way to go, is to contact the Ohio Attorney General's office in the first instance and see if they do a great job of trying to mediate disputes and figure out if there's a way forward. If that doesn't work, the other step that I would encourage people to do is to file a complaint with us, and they can do that online at our website, which is FTC, for Federal Trade Commission, .gov. But there are a number of different rules that apply and that protect consumers when they owe debts. And this is unfortunately another huge area that we see from our complaints in Ohio. There were over 26,000 complaints dealing with debt collection issues in 2016. A lot will depend on whether it is the company that you owe the money to that's trying to collect. And here, maybe that's the situation here where it's the actual hospital where the money was owed, but they're not recognizing the payment that was made. And then the other is a different set of rules if it's a third party that's trying to collect on a debt. But in both of those situations, what we recommend is really you do as much as you can in writing. Try to do it all in writing as soon as it becomes clear that there is an issue. Write to them, keep copies of everything that you get, because there are certain obligations that kick in when you complain in writing or dispute a debt in writing. The other thing, just very quickly, that I'll point out is that another huge problem area in terms of debt collection are companies that are making up debts and trying to collect what we call phantom debts. And that's also a big problem area.
Now, Sandra had mentioned debts revolving around, scams revolving around tax season. How big a problem is that? Melissa or John, how much of that do you see at your levels?
So I think previously Sandra was mentioning the IRS tax scam, which is a very, very large percentage of what we see as far as scams are concerned. And that's when somebody pretends to be from the IRS and asks for immediate payment, or they threaten arrest generally. So that's a big part of it. The other thing that we see is a good deal of identity theft related to taxes. So we try to work in giving referrals to the Ohio Department of Taxation and the IRS to make sure that that gets sorted out. But there has definitely been an increase, although I do think last year there was a decrease in federal tax identity theft. I know that the State Department of Taxation is also trying to work by asking validation questions to make sure that you are who you say you are when you're filing taxes, just to make sure that people are not receiving your tax return when they are, in fact, not you. So, you know, we're the beginning of March right now. And our biggest recommendation when it comes to taxes and avoiding tax identity theft is to file early. You know, don't wait until the very end, because naturally the longer that you wait, the longer an identity thief has the chance to steal your identity and file taxes on your behalf.
Do either one of you hear a lot from businesses about like W-2 phishing and spear phishing from CEOs?
So I've heard, I think I had maybe 5 reports in a matter of a week of that exact issue. So what Sandra's referring to is when somebody maybe in the human resources or payroll department receives an email allegedly from the CEO of a company saying, "Oh, I need a copy of the W-2s for all of our employees. Please send them to me immediately." The person then sends the W-2s, but doesn't realize that it's not, in fact, going to the CEO, in which case it's going to somebody who's using those W-2s for bad purposes. So we have received some reports of that happening.
Yeah, I think that recently happened.
That happened at a local school district
here in Ohio. School district, exactly. John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to jump in that for the tax identity theft, and also, Mark, for the problem that you are identifying for you before, what we encourage people to do is to go to a website, a relatively new website that we've developed, identitytheft.gov. And that is a great resource because it actually allows you to create a personalized recovery plan. So you, in this website, which is a government website, not a private website, you will share what kind of identity theft you are a victim of. If it's tax identity theft, it'll give you one set of steps to take. If it's a credit card, that'll give you another set of steps for you to take. And then it'll actually help you create the letters that you need to create, the reports that you'll need to file, the letters to creditors that you'll need to send if you are a victim of identity theft. And it'll keep track of the progress of where you are in those steps and be able to say, okay, you still need to send this other letter. So we're really excited to be able to make that resource available to consumers.
John, with identity theft, do we know how much of it is due to online activity or how much of it is from people taking mail from mailboxes or maybe rooting through your garbage looking for bills or other documents that might have account numbers on them? Do we have a breakdown on that?
We don't have a breakdown on that, but you have absolutely identified the key ways that the thieves have gotten the information. If you are, for example, sending in your taxes by mail, you don't want to leave it out there in your mailbox where someone can just drive by and grab it. You want to be able to take it right to the post office or file electronically. If you are throwing away sensitive information, you want to make sure to shred it first, because that is exactly how some of these thieves will get the sensitive information. And, of course, you want to be very careful about who you're dealing with online. And there's a little tip that we give people that's very simple and very effective in terms of being able to be sure you know who you're dealing with. If you get an email, even if it's from a friend or family member, and certainly if it's from someone you don't know, if there's a link in that email that they want you to click on, what you do is you take the cursor of your mouse, you hold it over the link. Don't actually click on the link, but just hold it over it. And when you do that, you'll see in the bottom part of your screen, it'll tell you the actual website that clicking on the link would send you to. So if you get an email that seems to be from your bank or seems to be from the IRS or some other source, if you hold the mouse pointer over that link and you see that it's actually going to a Russian website or to some other private company, well, then you know that that email is a scam. Get rid of it. Delete it out of your system right away.
At what point, John, does a victim go to local law enforcement to report a theft? Because I know I've heard of different pieces of advice that you should go right away, you should go after.
I was actually advised to do that in my particular case.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was told by the bank to report it to the credit bureaus, and they said you probably are going to want to report this to the police as well. Yeah,
okay.
But go ahead.
Well, the nice thing about identitytheft.gov is that it actually takes care of all of that for you. Hmm. Again, depending on the type of identity theft it was, it'll help you print out the identity theft report. It will, and that is all you would need to do. You may not even need to go to a law enforcement office. You can take that report and send it in to your creditors, and that counts the same as a police report. So that's one of the reasons that we say that identitytheft.gov is really the first place you should go, because it'll help answer that question. I know that the Ohio Attorney General's office also has a great identity theft program as well. It is an area where consumers have a couple of different great options if they're living in Ohio.
Yeah, we do. We have an identity theft unit, and the two options that John's talking about is we either have a self-help option in which somebody can receive a guide from our office on how to remedy the identity theft themselves. And then the other option that's more popular is called our traditional option. And in that case, someone will actually be assigned to work with the victim of identity theft to contact the creditors, contact the collectors, anyone who it may be and who may be affected by it. So that's a nice program that our office offers. Of course, any type of resources that consumers can get, whether they're the victim or whether they want to prevent identity theft, are always so important. The one thing I will say that is sometimes overlooked is the importance of checking your credit report. And this is really important. I know we hear of so many data breaches these days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are the victim of a data breach, especially if it involves your Social Security number, or if you have reason to believe that you're the victim of identity theft, or frankly, everyone really should be doing it once a year at least, is checking their credit report. So what's so important to know is that we often see commercials for a number of credit reporting services, but the website that we're really looking for is www.annualcreditreport.com. And you're entitled to one free credit report from each of the three credit reporting agencies per year. So oftentimes when people come to our office and ask for help, they say, we pulled our credit report and we found a number of accounts on our credit report that we didn't even know that we had. So to go back to your original question about when should you go to a police department, is, we would recommend actually pulling that credit report if you have reason to suspect identity theft prior to going there. That way, if you do need to report the identity theft, you can really say, I have these five accounts open, even though it may have only been the one account that triggered you to go to the police department to begin with.
Question for you, Melissa. Is it true that in the state of Ohio, you can freeze a minor's credit?
That is true. That's actually a new law that was passed. It went into effect in September of 2016. So, you know, it's only been around for a few months. Adults have always been able to freeze their credit. Well, not always, but since the law passed a number of years ago. And that's a nice tool because what it does is it prevents people from opening a credit in your name. So what would generally happen is, let's say you applied for a credit card, that particular company would call and say, did you apply for this, yes or no? And you can answer that, and if it's not you, then it prevents the identity theft right there. But the problem was is that because children don't have credit reports to freeze, or at least they shouldn't because credit hasn't been extended to them, there really was nothing to freeze. So what this law does is it allows minors, or I guess it allows parents, to freeze their minors' credit reports. And on top of that, it goes one step further, and it mandates that if the minor does not yet have a credit report, which he or she should not, that the credit reporting agency must then create the credit report and freeze it. And then that also applies for non-minors who have a guardian appointed for them as well.
I'm
wondering, how much are these efforts paying off? Are we seeing a dent made in fraud and scams?
That's a good question. And there's a pause there because I want to say there is, especially like for the IRS phone calls, there was a huge bust last year in Mumbai, India for a call, just a boiler room for phone calls being made for IRS debt collections. And there was a slight decrease in the number of calls made into the United States. But that's not to say that another scam isn't going to come along and replace it.
And that's the problem, isn't it? As soon as you cut one off, something
another,
new pops
another
out.
Another leg yeah. or arm is going to grow. And I'm sure John at the FTC is bobbing his head going, yep, you're probably right. And I'm sure Melissa's yeah. going, oh, we're just waiting for the next one to roll around.
Is that the case? Melissa and John?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There are always new scams developing. Oftentimes they are the old familiar scams, just repackaged. Yep. The scammers are very good at watching the news. And mm-hmm. when something comes up in the news, you can ensure that there's going to be scams to follow. So for example, although I don't have a crystal ball, I can pretty much guarantee that there will be all sorts of scams around whatever the next healthcare bill mm-hmm. is going to be.
Yep.
People who are going to call up or email and say, here's the new health plan. In order to sign up, you need to fill in this information right away. It's only going to be available for a certain amount of time, just because that's what they did the last time that there was a change in the law.
Yeah.
So, yes, they keep us on our toes, but we also we have a lot of great tools and a lot of great partners like the BBB and like the Ohio Attorney General's office, where we're all keeping in touch to try and be able to see what's coming down the road.
And really the front lines are consumers and businesses, because they're out there, they're experiencing that. So the more that they tell each one of us, the more we're able to take that information and digest it. Technology is a wonderful thing when it works, but it also can be abused. So
yeah.
A lot of these high-tech scams will probably are on the horizon as well.
And as Melissa and John said earlier, educate yourself.
Educate yourself.
Know what's
time.
Going on out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we're here.
And the other thing is, although we can't predict what the next scam will necessarily be. There are definitely some consistent red flags that we see across the board. Mm-hmm. So I know something that's been brought up is this pressure to act immediately.
Yes.
You have to pay now. When we discussed the computer repair scam, we were talking about that. So mm-hmm. understanding that's a red flag, understanding that scammers like wire transfers and prepaid cards, and now it's even evolved into gift cards and
yes.
iTunes cards. You know, if we can understand the red flags to look for, we might not be able to tell you every detail of the next scam, but at least we have an understanding of what to look for that might trip your brain to say, I don't know if this is right or not.
Melissa, is that old saying, and we'll wrap up with this, is that old saying, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Is that a good saying to follow?
Simply put, yes, I think it is a very good saying to follow.
And not only that, but we're also finding that scammers are consistent. There are certain tactics that they will use over and over, and then we keep preaching those tactics, and pretty soon everybody will pick up on them, or most everyone will pick up on them.
Well, Melissa, John, and Sandra, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Melissa Smith, who's Director of Consumer Education and Outreach for the Ohio Attorney General's Office. John Steiger, who's Director of the East Central Region of the Federal Trade Commission based in Cleveland. And Community Outreach Specialist with the Cincinnati BBB, Sandra Guile.